Thanks for downloading this message. We trust that you will be encouraged and built up by the podcast you're about to hear.
What I'm saying to you is, the value of this would be worth you selling everything you had, emptying your bank accounts, in order to get this. God gives it as a free gift. But it's still the pearl of great price. We can't measure it. It's so great a price put upon it because it has so much to offer. And it does, obviously, for eternity, far outweighing anything else. But also for this life. The man here in this narrative sold everything he had and he bought it. He somehow saw the value of it. Because that is extreme, isn't it? To go away and sell everything you have in order to get this pearl is just, it doesn't make sense really, does it? If you put it in your life now and thought about your house or whatever, I don't know what you own, but whatever you own, that it all went so you could get this one thing. But it's God pointing out that the kingdom is so priceless because it offers eternal life when we die and staggering benefits for this life too. The latter is not always experienced, but should be. There are staggering benefits in the kingdom of God for this life too. You see, you get love. You say, what do you get? Well, you get love. And it's the only place where we get love at this level, as we're beginning to understand. Because here is that Greek word that we all know by now, again, agape. Now, I know most of you understand this, and it's come from the pulpit since I've been here. But whereas in English we only have one word for love, the Bible has four words for love. They are eros, storge, phileo, and agape. And agape stands above all the others combined. Agape is such a high form of love that it can only come from God. So that's what you get. You get that. And it's priceless. Because that takes you to heaven despite you. That gives you the promises of God despite where you've been and what you've done. Because it's the only love available that's unconditional, that doesn't put conditions on you being loved. So, what do you get when you enter the kingdom? Well, you get to live in it now, and it operates on agape. So it deals with humanity in a different way than you get dealt with in this world. When we're born again, we enter a kingdom that is both here now, but will also last forever. But it's important to stress, it's here now. You're in it now if you're born again. It is not one now and another later. There's no difference between them. As Christians, we are in it now, and our eternal life has begun now. Yes, you're going to fall asleep at some time, because that's what the Bible speaks of for dying, that believers fall asleep. It might not happen that way, but what does happen and what's a certainty is you open your eyes and you're in another place, and it's wonderful. Praise God. Jesus' first words of ministry were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He later said this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So get in the kingdom, then seek its values and its principles, and everything else will be added to you. Because you gain rights as a citizen of the kingdom of God. You gain rights. Not because you deserve them, but because the King loves you. Hallelujah. You are the apple of his eye. And you're in his kingdom. And he's the king of it. And he's been on earth and he's given us an example and he's spoken to us and he's left his word to convince us of what I am saying is true, maybe said in lots of ways. He's for you. He teaches us how to live beneficially in this life. And if we live beneficially, we'll live productively. Notice here, it's not earned or bought. It's added to you. God's at work, and we prayed earlier in the prayer meeting, because we sing the song, you're working when I don't know you're working. You know, you're at work when I don't see that you're at work. He's at work in your life. You've no idea what he's preparing that's good for you for tomorrow, because he's at work on your behalf. I said earlier, the scripture, the ultimate scripture on that is, he's preparing a place for you. Do you think Jesus is going to prepare a crummy place for you, to use that word? No, it's going to be canny. Not crummy, but canny. Isn't it? If Jesus is preparing it, come on. He's the creator and sustainer of the universe. What's it going to be like? Canny. Absolutamente. It's going to be canny. He's preparing it. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare it, I'll come and take you to be where I am. Praise the Lord. So how can Jesus say, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added, meaning everything you need. One, they've already been given to you, but may not have materialized yet. But the born-again experience elevates your status to becoming a citizen of the kingdom. Now, listen, this kingdom was around before we see the tarnished state of man now, before we see the tarnished state of our earth now, this kingdom existed. It was 100% magnificent. Before the fall. Then Jesus comes to earth and he introduces this kingdom on earth and says it's available now. It's, repent. Change your thinking, because now there's a new way of living coming and I'm going to buy it for you. I'm going to purchase you through my blood into this kingdom. And guys, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, he came to bring the invisible kingdom to our visible world. The invisible kingdom that has always existed into our visible world. This kingdom on earth was birthed through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. At that point, as we sang this morning, that when the day came and he comes out of the grave, it was birthed for all time. The believer is meant to rule and reign on earth. The visible realm of the kingdom is meant to be ruled by God's ambassadors, which is mankind. So the kingdom existed in heaven before it existed on earth. But, as just been said, Jesus appointed us as his ambassadors of the kingdom here on earth. He told us to pray, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come, didn't he? The Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. He's trying to bring what exists in the invisible into the visible. That's always our hope. Whatever your condition is today, you can have hope that what already exists in the invisible realm will become visible in your life. Thy kingdom come. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them what we call the creation mandate. Most of you are fully aware of this. Genesis 1:26. so early in God's communication to us, in the beginnings, which Genesis means, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule and take dominion over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. At that point, God was declaring wonders for animal rights. He gave man dominion, but we hadn't fallen. We could handle it. He knew that his creation, mankind, could be entrusted to rule and reign with God-given authority, because man was created in the image of God, and God is agape. Let me say that again. You have to understand this. There was no flaw in God's government originally, in man. Mankind had the authority to rule and reign this planet because he was connected to a God who is love, and there was no break in that connection. So man would oversee the earth through a governance of love at the agape level. Love that cannot be polluted. Love that does no harm to another. And God said, you're my ambassadors in this, if you like, colony that I am creating from the invisible into the visible of earth. And he's going to create a new earth. It's not over. The earth's not over at the end of this age. It's to be inhabited. It's a new heaven and a new earth. Then came the fall. Trying to make the right noise for it, but you know. Yeah. So mankind fell from his lofty position, and his love connection to God was broken now. And we know what happened. There's the first murder. Cain kills his brother. And then it starts to spread like a virus. And up to a point where innocent children are being bombed out of their homes in Syria as we speak, probably. Can you imagine? I shared in the prayer meeting, and I've shared earlier about Christopher, the former owner here, giving £1,000 for us to send. I could barely watch what was coming through the news. There's a two-month-old baby whose family home had just been destroyed, and shrapnel and what have you had gone into the eye, and the baby had to have the eye removed at two. And just lying there in a bombed home, with a big patch on his eye. My goodness, what have we done? What have we done? What have we done? What are we doing? You have to look at the world picture to get an understanding of God and redemption and judgment. You have to see what's happening to some people in order to really grasp that. Because we look at our relative security, our relative comfort, and we think that's the world. It's not the world. God has to look upon some atrocious things. Sin spreads like a virus, and immediately God put a plan of redemption in place. It would mean the coming of his Son to earth to redeem mankind. The broken love connection of agape has now gone. It will not be reconnected till Jesus comes. So Jesus, in his own words, revealed why he had come to earth. Three things. To bring the kingdom of God from the invisible realm to the visible realm. To destroy the work of the evil one, who took charge when man fell. And to testify to truth. The scripture says of Jesus in Hebrews 1:3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And in my last sermon here 2 weeks ago, I was preaching about it has to be mended at the highest level. Your life has to be mended at the highest level in order for God to mend it at a lower level. Meaning the everyday things or sickness or relationships, you have to mend it here. And here is a heart issue always. Do you hear me, church? That's why I encourage you, when you come to the table, don't do it by routine. They're not there for routine. We do this because we're church. We do it because there's life found at the tables. If you take Holy Communion, there's always life. So, now the exact representation of God's being is back on earth. Man is ambassador for the earth, has fallen. But now there's hope reunited because the Redeemer has come. And he enables us, mankind, to understand the nature of God through the expression of the Son. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. We don't have to doubt what God's like, what his nature's like. So before Jesus' crucifixion, he issues some commands. He's trying to restore mankind back to that connection that will be a lasting connection. So he does it through three commands. These commands are intended to restore our authority in the spirit realm here on earth. To give us back that authority, even over principalities and powers that are destroying people's lives. To treat nature properly, to treat animals properly. To govern out of the love of God that's back now in man's heart. And that authority is so strong, it can set prisoners free. It can deliver those who are demonized. It can heal sick bodies. It can restore broken relationships. It can finance things that don't come from the world's economy, so to speak. Or are not reliant on the world's economy. These commands are aimed at his church. He knows full well the world can't begin to fulfill these commands. The very fact he gave commands originally in the Old Testament was to prove that man can't keep them. They were like a schoolmaster leading people to a savior. Meaning, here are my commands. If you keep them, you'll be righteous. Nobody could keep them. So it points to the fact that if we can't keep commands, we need a savior. We'll have to find a savior. Oh, Jesus. So the commands were aimed at his church and were designed to restore the kingdom rule, but only if the church would learn to love at the agape level. God cannot trust mankind except at the agape level. Amen. Because when that's in place, believe you me, when it's fully in place, you get treated properly. You can expect fairness, you can expect goodness, you can expect the love of others to flow toward you. God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. What a message. What a message. Jesus didn't come to bring religion. If you're a newcomer, you probably think, what's he saying? No. He came to bring a relationship that's based on a relationship with him who is the door to the kingdom. The original intention and the first words that man ever heard, which is the mandate, you know that because I've said it, but let me remind you, Genesis 1:26 is the first words that mankind heard. Let us make man in our image. Da-da-da. And what he goes on to say. So, his design is that we become his representation on earth because we're like him. And if we're like him in nature, he says, I'll trust you to rule and reign. I'll give you the authority to say, as we've done this morning, as Sally prayed over us and others were praying, Psalm 91, it's not coming near me and my house. Amen. Amen. Rule and reign. They're not my words. I wouldn't invent words like that. The scripture. Over everything, listen, He wants us to rule and reign over everything except our fellow man. He's the ruler and reign over our fellow man. That's why his kingdom is a kingdom of servants. Because governance would be carried out at the highest level of love, agape, and that this love is only achievable through direct connection to God, who is described as God is love, that God is agape, he can trust us again. That's why he commanded it. God never intended that there would be charismata, the gifts and power in the church, if it was devoid of character. He never intended that. He linked the two. Because the charismata is true. I want everything that God's got to give me. I want to be able to touch people and see blind eyes open. I want to see crippled bodies healed. I want the power to stand and say, no further, devil. In the name of Jesus. I want the power to cover my children. Cover you, who I shepherd. But I've learned this, I can't do it. If you see me with no character, then I'm not going to be as strong as I otherwise would be. It's the development of my character, my nature. I'm saying that from my office here, if you like. It's true for all of us, guys. The kingdom of light, of love, now on earth, headed up by Jesus, is designed to overcome the kingdom of darkness on earth, which is headed up by Satan. There's two kingdoms. Kingdom of light and of love, and the kingdom of darkness. One has a far greater power than the other, even though you might not understand that if you live in this earth, until the church starts to take its rightful place. I've said at least 5 times from this pulpit, Satan did not get a resurrection after Jesus defeated him. It might look as though he has if we're weak. But he cannot defeat us through his strength, only through our weakness. So faith in itself is not enough. It has to be the following. Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through agape love. So we have to get the agape love right and then step out in faith. And our confidence comes when we know we're pleasing him. And we're pleasing him when we take seriously his commands to love. Our confidence levels rise. Our expectations rise. We start to live a John 10:10 life despite the circumstances that come against us. Amen. I hope you want that. Yeah. It's legitimate to have a good life. You're never going to have a problem-free one. You're always going to have to be an overcomer. Amen. But God intends you to have a good life. Jesus thus intended to be taken seriously when he commanded his followers with these words. And let me paraphrase. I command you to agape, to love at God's required level, God the Father, with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. I command you to agape, to love at God's required level, your neighbor, as you love yourself. I command you to agape, to love at God's required level, one another, as I have agaped you, at the level I've loved you. He's saying operate in the level of love that can only come through connection to God. Ongoing divine connection comes through character, not charismata. As I've said, these were commands, not requests. I think we'd see revival in our nation if we as church leaders got on our knees and said, forgive us for not taking these commands seriously. Because we haven't. God wants to create a counterculture on our earth where his kingdom that is invisible in heaven becomes so visible on earth that it attracts multitudes of people. Kingdom authority and the ability to rule and reign is not automatic though. It's only found to be authentic in those who will obey the commands to love at God's required level, which of course is to agape. Agape is the doorway to power and is a power that frees those who are under the power of the evil one. Be free in Jesus' name. Let me assure you this, if God is on the inside of you, and he's certainly on the inside of 90-odd percent of this room, you are a power to be reckoned with. Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, the seven sons of Sceva said, didn't they? Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, we're aware of the presence of those two. But who are you? So as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you can expect fantastic benefits. I want you to hear the next two scriptures, or three scriptures even, as if you were hearing them for the first time, knowing that what you were hearing was the truth. But you'd never heard these before. John 15:7, which is known to us. If you remain in me, if you keep connected, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you, because you're now a kingdom citizen. James 1:4, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Is this true? Is this good news so true? Yes, it is. But unfortunately, the church hasn't represented it because it hasn't grown into the maturity that it should, generally. Or everybody would know. Oh, he's one of them. She's one of them. Wow, they can do stuff that I can't do. Even if it's put up with something, you know, sometimes that happens where God trusts you to put up with something that other people couldn't. And you do it for the glory of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you because you're a kingdom citizen. And you're living by kingdom principles, and you're living by kingdom order. Therefore, these are the benefits. Father, may everybody in this room begin to grasp that and receive fantastic benefits. Not done for you and added to you. Jesus does it. You don't strive to get these things. They're there for you in the kingdom. You think there's any limit on the kingdom, what the kingdom has? Do you think if we need £1 million for a vision, do you think we can't get it? Come on now. What about 999,000? Is that a bit easier to believe for? Once you mention millions, people go, ooh. Don't you realize we're in the Northeast? The money's past Watford Gap. No, it's not. The kingdom is all over in Jesus' name. Kingdom's all over. How do I know? Because our previous long-term church, before Africa and in between the Africas, was in the Rhondda Valley, which when we went to the Rhondda Valley, it had the lowest percentage of church attenders in Europe, having once had most churches per square mile in Europe. It went to being the lowest church attendance in Europe. In just over 100 years since the Welsh Revival, it went to that. It was one of the poorest economies in Britain. But over a number of years, our sports ministry, we raised well over £2 million. In a church that, you know, churches were small there. It wasn't even as big as this, but we did it. We can do whatever if we're connected. I want to pray over us, guys. I'm going to finish soon. I'm not finishing just at this moment, but I want to break to pray over us. This is my words over everybody here. Lord, I want our congregation to be a people who ask whatever we want, it will be done for us. A people who are mature and complete, not lacking anything. And a people who get all of their needs met by you. Amen. including the corporate needs of our vision. And as I was preparing this morning, God gave me just a few words, prophetic. This is what he said. You are going to expand. And the expansion will only be restricted by the size of your hearts. You are allowed to think big, even meant to think big, concerning the advancement of the kingdom and the benefit of others. So absorb expansion. It is a spiritual empowerment. We absorb it, Lord. I'm breathing in, I'm expanding. Remember Charles Atlas with his chest expanders? I'm expanding. I'm expanding on the inside. Expand on the inside. You're free to do it. But here's God's requirement. You don't get the full value of the kingdom until you fully commit to King Jesus and his government, to his kingdom principles. If you like the laws of the kingdom. Does that sound daunting? You can't have all that till you do all this. Well, all this isn't much. Because here's insight in what is meant here. Romans 13 and 8 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to agape one another. For whoever agapes others, his fellow man, has fulfilled the law. Has, past tense. Is that beyond you? I'm telling you this, if you think you can fulfill the law by never sinning, forget it. If you think you can fulfill the law by being a righteous goody-goody, forget it. But if you think I'm capable of loving at God's commanded level, you will have fulfilled the law before God. And that is the law of the kingdom. There's just one. Just one. It's all boiled down to one. The 613 commands of the Old Testament are boiled down to one command. He who loves his fellow man at the agape level has fulfilled the law. Only God could have invented that. Man could not have invented that. It's brilliant. It's brilliant psychology as well as anything else. So there's one law. And guess what? There's also just one command. And this command is to love at the highest level. That is the level that God loves us. And that is our greatest task. This is our greatest act of worship. It's not singing. It's loving people. And this is our greatest ministry. We cannot beat that. Loving one another. Loving our neighbor outside of this building. Because we love God at the level he requires us to love him. So one command, seriously adhere to, covers all of the commands. And it's here for us in Romans 13:10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Agape does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, agape is the fulfillment of the law. It is the fulfillment of the law. Wow. So you mean I can actually do this? Absolutely. It's just heart surgery. It's heart surgery. It's heart surgery. That's all. Where we think I can't because of what happened. I can't because of them. I can't because of what they did. When we come to him and submit to him, he will cleanse us of all of that. Until we rise up and say, now I can. Amen. Come on, church. Now I can. We are to seek first his kingdom so we can enter it. Then pursue righteousness by developing the kingdom fruit of agape. John 15:12 says, Jesus speaking, my command is this, agape each other as I have agaped you. The King of Kings had just washed his disciples' feet at this point. That's what Jesus is looking for in me and you. The gospel is simplified to one law fulfilled by one command. Can you believe it? No, or you'd be saying amen. Can you believe it? It's the truth. It's God's intent. It's God's counterculture on earth. It's God's empowerment of people so that he can trust them with authority and power. Man alive. Man alive. How brilliant is our God. Couldn't have been made up. Religious thinking does not make this up, this kind of stuff up. It means do this or do that or else. That's our religion, which is invented by man or worse, operates. Have you entered the kingdom yet? I'm speaking here to believers as well as somebody who may not have made a first-time commitment. Have you entered the kingdom? Have you understood that to be saved is not just, yeah, I've done it now, and I go to church. It's entering something in the spirit realm that is beyond your imagination. That beyond the door is wonderful things. The door is Jesus. We have to come through Jesus. He's the king of this kingdom. There's no kingdom without him. He's the king of kings and the lord of lords. And he speaks amazing words of who we are once we enter the kingdom. And once you're in that place, you won't look backwards. You might be tempted at times, but you won't, believe you me. You look forward. So I want to appeal to your hearts this morning. On that basis, have you entered the kingdom? If you know you've never been through the door, that means you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, which you must do. Then I'm inviting you to do that now, in the name of Jesus. If you know you have not entered this kingdom, but God has been speaking to you, he's arrested your heart this morning, I want you to raise your hand right now, please. Wherever you are in this room, just put up your hand so I see it. If there's anybody here who's never done it, in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone? Just be bold enough to raise your hand. It's the start of a brand new, wonderful life and adventure. I just want to make sure, as we should. Now, the second one is this. If you know you've not had any understanding, and more will come of understanding this kingdom and the kingdom benefits and how to best live in it, I want you to just be bold enough to raise your hand now. I'm going to pray over you. You're just taking a step and you're saying, I'm coming into this kingdom. I may be saved already, but I'm coming into this kingdom and I'm going to seek God that I live by its principles and get the benefits of it. Just raise your hand now. Be bold enough. Come on now, if you're there. Anybody? Father. Hallelujah. Is there anybody this morning wants to take that step? You're saved, but you've never made the King Lord of your life. Therefore, you're teetering. Stepping backwards, then stepping forward, stepping backwards, stepping forward. Are you here? Just reveal by raising your hand. Thank you. Thank you. That was one person, thank you. I said thank you twice because I know sometimes. It's okay, you can put your hand down. I want to include you in a prayer and include the majority here. I believe this from God too as a prophetic expression. Continue to grow character through kingdom principles. If you do, you will increasingly reveal light. Bring many out of darkness. You will bring many out of darkness and set multitudes of captives free. So I pray over all of us, including the person who raised their hand this morning, Father. In the name of Jesus, we take a step forward into light this morning as a church, into kingdom light. Lord, thank you that you have put the potential of fulfilling the law that's required. You fulfilled it anyway, but in terms of the benefits, that if we love our fellow man at your level, we have fulfilled the law. Because love at the agape level does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, agape is the fulfillment of the law. And secondly, Lord, to take seriously the command that we must, have to, completely work towards loving one another as you have loved us. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we've declared intent. Would you stand with me, guys, please? We're going to sing in a moment, finish our service. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I ask you for a current of life to flood through this body. We're one body. I ask for a current of life, as in electricity, but your energy, your life, to flood through this body this morning. Bring in healing, bring in health, bring in restoration, bring in commitment into new levels of life. I thank you that we're getting stronger and will get stronger. And our capabilities, Father, are increasing. And we will expand beyond what we've imagined to influence many. May that expansion, Lord, we declare expansion. We declare it this morning by faith. We declare it's the beginning of something. It's the beginning, Lord, of expansion. Speak to our minds, Lord, of how we should partake it, of this. As I illustrated before, Father, just by way of illustration, that we're breathing in expansion, that our capacity is growing.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to know more about our church or listen to other messages, why not head over to our website, www.elimnewcastle.org.uk.